Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Windows on the World. We've got a fantastic show for you today and a great guest. But first, just going to be telling you about a little event tomorrow evening or tomorrow afternoon, if you're on the other side of the pond, 3:30 p.m. Central Time. I will be previewing my new film, The Heretics of London, The Smithfield Martyrs, all about people who were burnt at the stake for heresy in the Middle Ages. And there'll be a preview of the trailer. And the trailer is actually more of a sampler of the film. So it'll give you a bit of historic background as well, if you're interested in that. So that's quite exciting. It's been a project that I've been working on for a number of years. And you can support us on Patreon or PayPal if you would like to do that. So getting on with today's show, my guest today is James McComiskey. And he has written a fantastic book, which I'm studying at the moment, and it's called The Ultimate Conspiracy. The biomedical paradigm describes the underlying philosophy or pattern of thinking behind modern medicine. What if the biomedical paradigm is fundamentally flawed, resulting in 95% of modern medicine being scientifically and medically wrong? The biomedical paradigm is the ultimate conspiracy because most of us, more than 99% of us, currently believe it to make common sense, to be scientific and to be true. We're going to be talking about that. That's off the rear cover of James McComiskey's book, The Ultimate Conspiracy, The Biomedical Paradigm. Now, James has recently written to the OIC regarding the COVID-19 virus proving the existence of pathogenic viruses. It's a submission that he's made. And don't worry about that sounding technical, because we're going to go into this as we get along. But James wrote to this organization, and basically he's had a very interesting response, but a predictable response, from University College Dublin. And what James was asking or stating in his submission to the OIC was that he said, "My position is that pathogenic viruses do not exist. There is no proof that any alleged pathogenic virus exists, such as the latest coronavirus, which caused the lockdown, COVID-19, 20 nCoV or SARS-CoV-2. This virus has multiple names in common usage. I believe SARS-CoV-2, severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, is the most common name for this alleged pathogenic virus," he said in his submission. "There is also no proof that the mumps virus, the measles virus, the rubella virus, HIV virus, bird flu virus, H5N1, swine flu virus, H1N1, nor indeed any other allegedly pathogenic virus exists. If any of these allegedly pathogenic viruses existed, it would be possible to purify them. The NVRL have correctly stated to me in multiple Freedom of Information requests that no record exists in relation to the purification of any alleged pathogenic virus, such as the measles virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. They are absolutely correct in stating that no scientist has ever purified any alleged pathogenic virus. The scientists have been unable to purify any alleged pathogenic virus because, says James, they do not exist. The entire country was quarantined because of the alleged existence of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. The lockdown has caused considerable economic hardship. Therefore, says James, I think it is reasonable to expect University College Dublin and the NVRL to be able to provide proof, i.e. to provide the record which definitively proves that SARS-CoV-2 virus exists. In order to prove the existence of a pathogenic virus, one would have to purify it, photograph it, measure its diameter, and biochemically characterize its nucleic acid and protein shell surrounding it." And James sent the same submission to Public Health England because he's in the north of Ireland. So let's now go back to what the response was from University College Dublin. This is very interesting. This is about the application that was made by James, and this is dated the 22nd of June 2020. Dear Mr. Comiskey, I refer to your application for an internal review under the Freedom of Information Act 2014 of a decision by Ms. Debbie Scanlon, dated 22nd of May 2020, concerning item 1 of your request for access to records of the National Virus Reference Laboratory, the NVRL, which we referred to earlier in the statement. As follows. 1. I am looking for a scientific paper which demonstrates how the novel coronavirus was purified. Surely, if the NVRL is able to detect the novel coronavirus, it should also be able to demonstrate how it is purified. So, they have basically fobbed off James. It says, in the original decision, Ms. Scanlon refused part one of your request on grounds that the university do not hold records to answer your request, section 15.1. I have now conducted an internal review in accordance with section 21 of the Act. I wish to inform you that I affirm the original decision. The university's position is that matters of academic debate cannot be conducted under freedom of information, and we would not regard academic research material as administrative records of an FOI body that would make them available for release under the legislation. Okay, so it goes on and on. So the short point is that they are fobbing off James here, and the major point is that bacteria can be isolated, but there is no scientific paper available where a virus has been isolated. And James actually predicted bird flu outbreaks in his book, The Ultimate Conspiracy. So I'm going to now welcome James to the show. James, are you there?
I'm here, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Yes, we did a bit of a chat before the show, and we went through some of this stuff. I thought it was quite important just to lay that out at the beginning. So it might be good for you to give that a bit of context now and as to how you got into this subject in the first place, because you've dived right into it. And I'm very impressed with The Ultimate Conspiracy, this book, which I think people who are interested in this subject should read. So, yeah, please expand.
Okay, yeah. The book is The Ultimate Conspiracy, the Biomedical Paradigm. So I guess it is the idea that, the biomedical paradigm is the idea that we're our body's like a machine, that the mind-body interaction doesn't really matter. And really, the argument I make in the book is that the central dogma of the biomedical paradigm is a germ theory of disease, i.e. that germs cause disease, that bacteria cause disease, that tubercular bacilli cause tuberculosis, that cholera bacilli cause cholera, and also that the COVID-19 virus causes, or SARS-CoV-2 causes respiratory problems, or the measles virus causes measles. So one little soundbite I have is the germ theory of disease is wrong, and pathogenic viruses do not exist. And really, as you've outlined in your introduction there, I've done this for about 10, maybe I'll just give a bit of a context here.
Yes, please do, James. That'll be great.
So first of all, I got into this kind of thing called German New Medicine by Dr. Ricky Gerd Hammer. And then from that, I got in, he mentioned the fact that, Dr. Hammer mentioned the fact that viruses there might not exist. And then there's this German PhD, a doctorate in virology, Dr. Stefan Lanke, he said there was no proof that any pathogenic virus existed. And this is like 10, 12 years
ago. James, I just want to stop you here, because this is going to be an absolute bombshell to even maybe the listeners of RBN, who are a very informed audience. Now, if you say this to a member of the public, they will just recoil in disbelief. And we were talking about this before the show. But in actual fact, this is like a lot of other issues. In other words, when you examine what the so-called experts say, you realize that a lot of things are said with no foundation evidence. And of course, a theory is just a theory. I just thought I'd make that point there.
Yeah, absolutely. So Stefan Lanka, at that time, he had a colleague called Carl Krafft, and Carl came up with this idea that just ordinary people write to the authorities in Germany. It was a German magazine at the time called Leben mit Zukunft, Life with the Future, and that ordinary people just write to it. And then I kind of took up the mantle. I said, okay, nobody's doing it here in Ireland. And I started writing to the Irish authorities. And then latterly, I started writing to the UK authorities as well. So what I discovered was, you write to the authorities, you write to the Minister for Health or whatever, they just refer, the Minister for Health referred you to the World Health Organization. They never responded at all. And then you start working out who is the expert. Are the doctors the experts? Are the people who recommend vaccines for measles, mumps, rubella, are they the experts? No. And then I kind of nailed it down over a little bit of time, took a bit of time, but I nailed it down. In Ireland, the responsible authority is the National Virus Reference Laboratory. It's all in the name at University College Dublin, Ireland. And in the UK, it would be the Virus Reference Department at Public Health England. They are the responsible authorities for detecting these viruses. Okay, and then when you get into it, you find out that like what like for example, Professor Christian Droll, the current test for detecting the SARS-CoV-2 or the COVID-19 virus is a paper written by Professor Christian Drosten from Charité in Berlin. And when you okay, it's written in scientific English. I am not a biologist. I'm an accountant, so I make no claim. I've not studied any of this at university. I'm just self-taught, right? I read the stuff. It's difficult to read the paper, but in the abstract of the paper, it says that they try to detect these COVID-19 virus. I use that name because that's the most common name. The
Yes.
COVID-19 virus. They try to detect the COVID-19 virus using RNA strands by detecting RNA strands of what they believe are similar to the SARS-CoV, the original SARS virus, which is called SARS-CoV-1. And now the new virus is called SARS-CoV-2. And so they've no viral samples. In other words, what they're saying quite clearly in the abstract, the background, the first couple of sentences of this paper is they have not purified, isolated or purified the virus. And by the way, they did not isolate or purify SARS-CoV-1 either, nor any other so-called pathogenic virus like mumps, measles, rubella that we vaccinate our children against. So they've not purified any of these viruses. And as incredible as this seems, and I have to say, when I came across this, I said, this is absolutely unbelievable. This could not be true. So I'm in the same boat probably as most of your listeners. You said that this couldn't be true, but you asked them the question, like just a simple question: what is the diameter of this virus? And they measure the diameters in nanometers, and a nanometer is a billionth of a meter, so it's 10 to the minus 9 of a meter. And they say it's about 200, 300, 400 nanometers, or 200 nanometers, 100 nanometers, whatever it is. But that's what they guess. But they've never actually isolated it, and they've because the only way to measure its diameter clearly is you have to isolate it or purify it. I use the word purify. I got that from a guy called from David Crowe in Canada, and he said that, for example, that they've so abused the word isolate. For example, if you've got the symptoms like asymptomatic pneumonia, which is like a key symptom of for SARS for COVID-19. In other words, you've got difficulty breathing and you spit out a sputum. That sputum is called an isolate. And that just defies the laws of logic. It's just sputum. If the virus did exist, you would have to isolate the virus from the sputum. But I've even read the papers myself where they call the sputum from somebody with asymptomatic pneumonia, and they call that the isolate, but it isn't. It's just a sputum. You have to actually purify the agent, the pathogenic agent, pathogenic virus from that sputum, and that they have not done. So they're using, I mean, to cut a long story short, they're using indirect methods, which they believe prove the existence of these pathogenic viruses. But the problem is the RNA sequence that they believe belongs to this SARS-CoV-1, SARS-CoV-2 virus. They've never purified it in the first place to prove that that is true. That is a key problem. So they're using a testing methodology which is completely flawed.
Yes. Well, when you look into the PCR test, that is blatantly obvious if you actually do any research into that. So I think this is such a massive thing that we can take some time outlining it. I mean, this is a real shock to most people, I think. And I was in a bit of a hurry to get you on, so I went into that introduction, and I didn't kind of do much of a background into that, so we need to expand a bit on the whole thing. But it takes us into this whole area, which is massive, which is what's called the biomedical paradigm. And once people start really looking into this, then they will be able to see that what you're saying is absolutely true. Because a lot of this stuff I'd kind of linked up over the years, and I'd done bits of research here and bits of research there. Your book nicely pulls it all together, and there's a lot of references in there. So I would recommend people actually do buy the book, The Ultimate Conspiracy. But this actually has just blown COVID-19 apart, basically, right? In the first 10 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to do that for a long time with all this other information. We talked about this before the show, James, that basically I've given out all this information, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, the scientific fraud, the financial interests, the depopulation agenda, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, but this kind of goes straight to the foundations. It's the simplest way of demolishing an argument, isn't it?
Absolutely. And really, it's really what it boils down to. It's very, very simple. And what Dr. Lange, I could talk a little bit about Dr. Stefan Lange. Yes. He offered 100,000 euros to anybody who would provide evidence that the measles virus existed. Okay. And he said that it should be a paper in Germany, the relevant institute for the detection of these allegedly pathogenic viruses is Robert Koch Institute, RKI, Robert Koch Institute. And it should be a paper verified by them. So this guy, this doctor, I forget his name, a young German doctor, Dr. Bardens, gave six papers about the measles virus and he wanted 100,000 euros. And then it went to court, and initially he won in the first court, but in the second court he lost. And basically, the judgment was, and it's gone up to the German Supreme Court, is, and it was kind of verified by the German Supreme Court, that basically there is no scientific evidence where anybody has purified the measles virus. And that is the same for the COVID-19, mumps, rubella, whatever, all of them. They don't exist. And you could go back in history of this. There's always been this idea that germs cause disease. That's been with us human beings for thousands of years, you know.
I think we should go into that just after the break, James, because okay. The germ theory is very key to people understanding this and what the germ theory actually is. So I'd like you to go into that maybe in the next section.
Okay.
And we'll do that. So that Louis Pasteur, airborne germs cause fermentation that had to be the cause of the disease, he said. This is all very interesting stuff. I mean, I'm sort of at a point of this where I'm putting this together in a very sort of holistic way now. And yeah, I think we're onto something of a enormous magnitude with what we're saying in this show. So people out there, if you want to phone in, it's 800-313-9443. See you after the break. I'm Mark Windows, special guest today, James McComiskey, whose book, The Ultimate Conspiracy, is available on Amazon.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back to Windows in the World. I'm with James McComiskey. Can you just say your name, James, because I keep getting it wrong?
That's okay. James, you've got it right there. James McComiskey. It's a relatively unusual Irish name, but yeah, James McComiskey. Actually, funny enough, I believe in Chicago, there's a baseball park. The way the Americans pronounce it would be Mac Comiskey. And there's a baseball park called Comiskey Park in Chicago, I understand.
But you are well known on the other side of the pond too. That's great. Yeah. Just before the break, we were talking about the germs theory and where that came from. And really, it was born out of this idea of fermentation, putrefaction, and bad air. And that's where the 18th century idea of contagion came from. And that's actually where quarantine came from, I believe. And this is very interesting. So Louis Pasteur was the scientist who put forward the airborne germs caused fermentation, and that had to be the cause of disease, and that equals germ theory. So could you now expand on that for us a little bit?
I could indeed, Mark, but I should have read my book before I did the interview. Some of this stuff I've forgotten, but in essence, what Pasteur discovered was Pasteur, and there was a guy called Bechamp, I forget Bechamp's first name, and they were kind of two colleagues. And I'll give you a quick, just for your listeners, just so they get a quick takeaway, is it was Bechamp came up with the idea, Pasteur came up with the idea that germs cause disease, and Bechamp modified that by saying, the germ is nothing, the environment is everything. I forget his exact quote, but the environment is the key thing. And then apparently Pasteur on his deathbed allegedly said that Bechamp or Claude Bernard was right. Bernard was another kind of colleague, was right. The environment is everything. The milieu is everything. The germ is not the cause. So in effect, what they're saying is, so Pasteur observed the process of fermentation. And fermentation comes from stuff that's in the air. And then He observed the process of fermentation. I've forgotten about it, so I just don't want to be talking about it now, but he observed the process of fermentation. But the idea preceded that a long time was this idea that germs come in on the air and they affect us. And he observed it with fermentation. And then he kind of, and it is correct that the germs, the stuff that causes fermentation does come in from the air. But the problem is the idea that, for example, smallpox or whatever, or mumps or measles, rubella, all that type of stuff comes in from the air or were infected by other people. That idea has followed on from Pasteur's work and the work of Robert Koch, and you know, who came up with this kind of scientific medicine, modern medicine that we have now. And that's this idea that these germs cause disease, that bacteria causes bacterial diseases. And actually, I can give you a nice little story for your listeners there about bacteria, right? Bacteria, bacteria, when somebody's got tuberculosis, tubercular bacteria are present, absolutely. And if they cough out a sputum, and the scientists can purify the tubercular bacteria, okay? And then Robert Koch was a guy who came up with modern medicine along with Louis Pasteur, and he had four postulates for detecting a pathogenic virus or a pathogenic bacteria. And the first postulate is you observe the bacteria or the virus in the sample, in the blood sample or in the sputum or whatever it is. The second postulate is you can purify it or isolate it or purify it, and you can grow it, you can cultivate it. And then the third postulate is that you can inject the bacteria or the virus into somebody else that causes the same disease. And then the fourth postulate is you can re-isolate or re-purify the virus or bacteria back. Now, when I say the germ theory of disease is wrong, so bacteria do exist, absolutely no doubt about that. Tubercular bacteria do exist. If somebody's got tuberculosis, though, and Max von Pettenkofer, another German guy, it's all Germans that seem to have discovered all this stuff, but Max von Pettenkofer did an experiment in the late 1880s where he drank a bowl full of tubercular bacilli and also cholera bacilli, and he didn't get cholera, he didn't get tuberculosis, and a colleague of his did the same thing. So in other words, you can inject or drink a bowl of tubercular bacilli and you will not get tuberculosis. But then modern medicine will explain all of that. So that's Koch's postulate number two. You can observe it, but number three, it fails for number three. For you can't. If I drank a bowl of tubercular bacilli, I will not get tuberculosis because I don't believe in it. It won't happen to me. I'll be fine. I might get slightly sick, but might get nauseous, but I will not get tuberculosis. So the point is that, in German New Medicine circles, where this is a phrase is commonly used. Every time you see a fire, you see firemen. Okay, does that mean the firemen caused the fire? And equally, every time somebody's got tuberculosis, you see tubercular bacilli. Does that mean the tubercular bacilli caused the tuberculosis? And the answer is, according to modern medicine, the answer is they believe the tubercular bacilli caused tuberculosis, but then they also recognize the fact that it is not very contagious. And that if I drank the bowl full of tubercular bacilli, I wouldn't get tuberculosis. But then they would explain that I've got a strong immune.
Yeah, we'll pick that up after the next break, James. This is Windows on the World. Okay, thanks for being fascinating today, as always.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Oh, welcome back to Windows on the World. Mark Windows with James Comiskey, and we are talking about viruses, and that viruses and COVID-19, the virus. None of these viruses have ever been isolated. Now, this is a huge thing to take in. We've talked about Louis Pasteur's germ theory, where that came from. Koch's postulates, how they actually quantify a lot of this stuff. And it's a little bit like when you turn the television on and they have a presenter who's reading an auto cue, and that presenter says, experts say. Now, we have to question pretty much everything that's coming out of the media regards COVID-19. But what we're doing today is taking it back to a foundational level. In other words, if it's a castle built on sand in the first place, we don't have to disprove that it's a huge conspiracy. So we're now going to look into the idea of the germ theory, just finish off on that, because it's such an important thing. Are there any other points about germ theory that you'd like to make before we move on, James?
Yeah, just one little point, and it just struck me, just for your listeners, is that if a scientist, it's impossible to disprove something. It's impossible to prove a negative. You can't say something doesn't exist. But what you can say is, for example, I can't prove there isn't a green man on the moon, okay? But if somebody says there's a green man on the moon, I can say to them, well, give me the proof, okay? And then I can examine the proof and say yes or no. And it's the same thing with this virus issue. The scientists and the doctors, the white coats, if you want to call them that, but the virologists, the virologists are the key people involved in this, and the virologists are the key people, actually. The microbiologists and the virologists, they're the key people. And you just say to them, can you provide me the proof where you have isolated or purified any pathogenic virus? And the answer I've been getting back from the National Virus Reference Laboratory in Dublin, Ireland, for the last 10 years is no record exists. And they are correct. Nobody has ever purified any alleged pathogenic virus. And it's pretty simple. The reason why they haven't been able to purify it is because it doesn't exist. They don't exist. It's as simple as that. So what happened, Dr. Lanke has written a couple of papers in German on his magazine, Wissenschaft Plus. And this might be interesting to go into, Mark.
Yes, we're talking here about Dr. Stefan Lanke.
Yeah. And what Dr. Lanke, he's done the original thing in Wuhan, right? So in Wuhan, and I've read his paper, it's called The Virus Misconception, Part 1. And then he's done part two, and he'll do part three next month. But part one goes into what happened. And there was this Chinese eye doctor called Li Wenliang. And I'm reading this stuff in German every night and trying to translate it into English myself. But so Li Wenliang made the observation on Facebook or on WhatsApp. He said there's a number of patients with atypical pneumonia, and they believe it's SARS related. And a few people are under quarantine. And then he sent a WhatsApp message to his seven doctor pals. And one of them took a screenshot of the WhatsApp and published it on the internet. And then that was spread all over China. They had the SARS-CoV-1 scare in 2003. And they're all getting really, really frightened and all the rest. And that's how the whole kind of thing, that's how the whole thing took off. It took off from five people with atypical pneumonia in Wuhan. And because the doctors, because the medical profession believe in the germ theory of disease, they didn't look at other possible causes of atypical pneumonia. For example, just bad air pollution, you know, toxic fumes from cars, solvents, you know, like cleaners or whatever it is. And some people say, and I've no proof of this, but I know a lot of people believe this, that 5G can have an effect on people who have got underlying breathing issues like asthma or whatever. And that potentially could have caused the atypical pneumonia. So in other words, they didn't look at environmental reasons for causing the atypical pneumonia, which was the disease condition that these patients absolutely did have. But they looked for some kind of a virus. And then they got the scientists from the Chinese CCDC, it's called the Chinese Center for Disease Control, I guess that's what it's called in English. See, the Chinese virologists, they came down to Wuhan from Beijing, and then, you know, they took a sample, and then Professor Drosen came up with his test, and the rest is history, as I say. That's where we're at.
Well, absolutely true. Yeah, I was listening to John Rappaport when he was doing his investigations over the years into these COVID viruses, these coronaviruses. And yeah, it's interesting as well, the point that you brought up in your book, that where these kind of bird flu viruses have been found, it's usually on major routes, either railway routes or road routes. That's a really interesting thing, because what they tend to do is they show these library pictures of little backyard dirty places as though that's where it's originated. And that's another trick, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right. I mean, the whole point was that the bird flu originated in China. And apparently China has got another, you've got more problems. Like bird flu, the swine flu, it's conditions that the pigs are in these massive barns and the birds, you know, like chickens are in. Massive barns, no fresh air, all artificial light. They're all clumped in together. They don't get out into the fresh air. And then a lot of them die from, you know, bird flu or swine flu, and it's all down to so-called, you know, a virus caused it. And for some reason, the scientists can't say, well, maybe could it be the living conditions of the birds and the pigs that are causing them to die off in these kind of quantities? And you don't see that kind of stuff with what they call backyard farming, where the pigs and the chickens are outside in nature, which is the way I think Mother Nature, God, intended them to be, and they're not stuck inside these big barns, you know. So in other words, the virologists are clearly, you know, because of their training, they are programmed to look for a virus to look for the death of all these pigs or the chickens in these big massive factories. But they don't look at the blindingly obvious, which is the living conditions of these of these birds and pigs. And the same thing with in Wuhan in China, which I understand to be pretty bad pollution. These are older people, they breathing in dirty air or whatever. That is the cause of their atypical pneumonia.
Well, yeah, once you actually look at this, it's quite incredible, because the whole idea of these factory farms, and if you look at where they are, and they have these conditions which are basically cesspits. They're basically cesspits, these places. So yeah. The idea that they wouldn't be a sort of breeding ground for some outbreak, that's ridiculous. These places are actually toxic to start with. So that's the point here, in that it's not some unusual thing that's just appeared. I think we've got a caller, actually. Richard. Is Richard there?
Great show. I was just talking to another host about the same subject. It was Antoine Beauchamp, who was the contemporary of Pasteur, and they were always fighting at odds, because Beauchamp, his theme of understanding was the fact that there was pleomorphism. Single-cell organisms can change their shape and abilities based on the terrain of the person that they're in this case. And there's a whole bunch of other people that followed the same thinking, Gunther Enderlin and Gaston Nissons. Antoine Beauchamp was just one person with the same perspective, and he called these little microorganisms microzyma, but they could change structure and their ability. And you've really pointed out what exactly is happening. If you study Hans Delay, or Cellier, depending on how you pronounce it, the general adaption syndrome, you find out that it's the overriding stress on the system that causes the disease. It's not one thing. There's no, you know, one thing may trigger the disease, but the disease is caused by a myriad of inputs that you've pointed out. And the major input is diet. Basically, our nutritional input is so poor these days, animals, humans, et cetera, that we're constantly under stress, and any trigger will bring about a stress reaction and a disease pattern.
Yeah, that's a really good point as well. And I'm going to be going more into this over the next weeks and months on RBN, hopefully, because this is the key to a lot of what's going on. And yeah, as I've said, and I want to reiterate, if we can take this apart, then the whole thing comes apart, especially with COVID-19. This is the biggest coup that's ever happened in world history. I can't think of a bigger one. And
they've got us under the medical model. That's part of our mind control conditioning. And you're around doctors any length, and they're MDs. They think that's minor deity. Bottom line is we got to challenge that perspective. Great show. Thank you much. I'll hang up and let you get more information out.
Thanks, Richard, and thank you for that information, because I'm quite new to this subject. But interestingly, it all ties together with things I've researched in the past. And I think at this particular point in history, this is some of the most important information to get out there. So we're going to keep doing that. We'd like to go now into the whole area of vaccination, because we're being told that there's a search to find this vaccine. We know there's 120 billion or something like that invested. We know how many people have got their noses in the trough, and we know what Bill Gates is up to. That's obvious. However, let's now look at the whole issue of vaccination and where it came from, because this is quite an integral part of your book, James.
Yeah, no, it is. I guess, you know, why I'm doing this, these shows and all the rest is that once you understand that there's no that pathogenic virus. By the way, what Richard said about MD, minor deity, very funny.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. I will remember that for the rest of my life. But the Spanish flu, right? The Spanish flu was caused by, a flu virus. I've never quite heard what kind of flu virus it was, but that was allegedly caused by flu virus. And then when you understand that these pathogenic viruses don't exist, then what caused the Spanish flu? Now, if I had contact with somebody American woman called Shannon, and she's saying that possibly it's radio waves or whatever. But it's a possibility that that had an influence. I really don't know. But my understanding from, I think it was Isadora, I forget the name of the lady who wrote the book, but again, American lady around the time, but she said that the only people who died from the Spanish flu were people who took the vaccine. And the Spanish flu, unlike COVID-19 is you know, killing off 80-year-olds or whatever, 90-year-olds are dying from COVID-19. But the Spanish flu killed off a lot of young people. And my thesis is based on this lady's book. I will remember her name. I will find out. But she was saying that it was caused by them taking a vaccine. So I believe the Spanish flu was, most of the deaths in the Spanish flu, so-called, were caused by people taking vaccines. And the big fear I have is that, you know, and I hear people in Ireland talking about this all the time, oh, we can't wait for a vaccine, right? The big fear is that Bill Gates comes up with his vaccine, and then people are programmed to take the vaccine, and it's the vaccine that will kill them. It will paralyze them, kill them, whatever, you know? So the whole point of this is, why take a vaccine if there's no proof that there's any of these alleged pathogenic viruses exist? That's the key point. And yeah, I mean, I think it's well known that Bill Gates is into, you know, the depopulation agenda and all the rest. And, you know, his vaccines for in India and all the rest have allegedly, I don't know how true this is, killed off, you know, thousands of kids or paralyzed them or whatever, you know. And so the point is, a lot of damage has been caused by vaccines already. And all the autism that we have in the Western world is all caused by vaccinations, by adjuvants of vaccines, mercury. I know Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I think Robert De Niro had a son that was damaged by vaccines, and his wife recognized straight away. I think himself and, I've read this in Dr. Lanka's magazine, himself and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. have offered $100,000 to anybody who could, any scientist who could prove that if you take a vaccine with, taking any quantity of Tamoxifen, which is the mercury-based adjuvant in vaccines, that that anybody could survive that. And the point is, if you gave adults, the amount of mercury that were given to our kids, it would kill us off, you know, straight away, it would kill us off. So, you know, the issue there is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Robert De Niro are focused on is the contents of the vaccine, which are dangerous. I'm absolutely not denying that. They are very dangerous. But my focus is, that's true, so I'm agreeing with that 100%. But my focus is on, there is no need for vaccinations in the first place, none whatsoever, okay? Unless you want to poison or kill people.
Okay. Let's go back into the history of vaccination now, James, because we talk about these diseases such as smallpox, and you make a very good point in your book that with the rise of vaccination, we'd already seen the decline of these diseases. So these diseases were already in decline. It was nothing to do with the vaccination as to the reason of why they were in decline. Can you go into that? Because I think that's a really key point.
Yeah. I mean, again, I forget all the exact dates and all the rest. You just have to bear with me on that. But the key point about, and you're absolutely, it's all absolutely correct. So what they've noticed is, as soon as they improved water, like say London and in Berlin, they started, you know, people weren't drinking dirty water. People were getting clean food. Then the mortality rates went down. So as our food supply was improved and water supply was improved, mortality rates were declining anyway. And then what they do is they introduce vaccines, and then they say, well, we introduce a vaccine for measles, say, and the death rate declined by 98% since the measles vaccine was introduced. But they don't say that prior to the measles vaccine being introduced, the death rate was declining anyway. Okay, so they're taking a very small snapshot of the decline in the mortality rate. So if a child is sick anyway, for example, drinking dirty water or not getting enough food or getting food that's kind of contaminated, and then a child gets measles, the child the child can die from measles. Absolutely, can die. But the question is, did the child die from measles alone, or did the child die from,
Fascinating stuff, James. We'll be carrying this on in the weeks to come. This is Windows on the World with me, Mark Windows, coming to you from the UK, a very grey and dreary Britain at the moment. It's sunny somewhere, but it's not here. See you after the break.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm James McComiskey. Talk about the ultimate conspiracy. This is James' book, The Biomedical Paradigm. We've been talking about that today. We're going to be talking about this subject a lot more in the future. It's key to what's going on. And anyone who's been listening to this show will realize why it is key to what is going on. In summing up, James, I'd like you to talk about the book, but I'd like you to also give us an idea as to why you wrote the book. What was the inciting incident to write the book?
Okay, so I wrote the book, The Ultimate Conspiracy, The Biomedical Paradigm, because my father got liver cancer, died of liver cancer in 2002 in Dublin, Ireland. In effect, the doctors said, yeah, there's nothing. If you get cancer in the liver, they more or less say, well, that's it, you've had it, you know. And my sister had taken an alternative. My sister had skin cancer 6 months previously, and she'd gone on an alternative route. She'd heard about this thing called German New Medicine at the time, or the New Medicine. Then I got into the German New Medicine of Dr. Rika Geard Hammer, and I just studied that. And then from that, I got into the idea that, which is alternative, just a new way of thinking of like, in effect, what he's saying is biological shocks cause diseases like cancers and every other disease that known, apart from malnutrition or poisoning. And so I got into that. And then from that, I got into the Dr. Stefan Lanke and the idea that pathogenic viruses don't exist. And I know this sounds unbelievable to anybody who hears this for the first time. And if you're obviously an American listener, you're hearing this from an Irish person, and you might say, well, yeah, these guys are crazy or whatever. But the point is that it's really simple. In relation to the COVID-19 virus, SARS-CoV-2, to give it its proper technical name, what is the diameter of it? Has any scientist ever purified the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the COVID-19 virus, and have they measured its diameter in nanometers? And ditto for the mumps, measles, and rubella viruses. For all of you people concerned about kids with autoimmune diseases, with all sorts of problems, which are caused by vaccinations, by the contents of vaccinations, which Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has absolutely correctly identified that mercury, ingesting mercury into anybody, into a human being, is absolutely insane. But I guess with Stefan Lanke, he's just gone one step further. He's just saying there is no proof, not even that there is no proof. The scientists have not been able, have not, the scientists, for example, claim viruses exist, and on that basis, they claim that we need vaccinations. But when you ask the relevant scientific institutes, can you provide me with the proof that these viruses exist? Can you provide me with the proof that they've been purified or isolated? And the answer is no record exists. So, and the reason why no record exists is because the COVID-19 virus, the HIV virus, the mumps, measles, and rubella viruses, none of them exist.
Where can we get the book, James?
Yeah, so the book is available on Amazon. As always, it looks like Amazon's selling everything. I would say to your listeners, you know, I'm not, you know, if you want to dig into it, yeah, buy the book, and that'd be great, fantastic, and it will help out. But there's websites. There's Isidore Laker for the German New Medicine in Canada has a website, newmedicine.ca, and Dr. David Probe.
That's great, James. We just about got all that in. This is Windows on the World. I'm going to have James on the show very soon for all you people who want to know more. I'm Mark Windows. I'll see you all tomorrow from the UK, same time.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.